another Christian, they say, oh, New Testament, very easy to understand. Old Testament,
very hard, right? Much harder. And sometimes we tend to skip the Old Testament or avoid reading the Old Testament. But when God gives us 66 books of the Bible, each one of them is for our learning. It's been very meaningful to us. So we must not skip the Old Testament and say that, oh, and excuse ourselves, it's too difficult for me. So we're going to go through a book called Numbers. And you're going to understand why is it called Numbers. Now, I'm going to have notes for you and also for me, so you're going to have some lessons. So there are two sides on this note. One side is a map, the other side is what I'm going to cover for this part one of this lesson. Any of you like geography here? Oh, only one. So, any of you like history here? None. Any of you like mathematics here? And what you all the rest like? So we're going to have a geography lesson, we're going to have history lesson, we're going to have mathematics lesson. That's why it's numbers. So we're going to have quite a few things, but because today is the first lesson, so I have to give you some background to it, then you understand. I want to do it in a simple and clear way, so that you can follow me closely. Right, so you can just follow along the notes, and also when I ask you to turn back to the map, you can also see how this entire history of Israel has been brought up before us. Alright, so before we start, let's pray together. Ask God to help us. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you that we can study your word, and even as we begin this study in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, Lord, we ask and pray for your wisdom and understanding upon us. Lord, we know that we are weak and often we do struggle with understanding some of the Old Testament books. But Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will illumine us and will cause us to see the treasure also in the Old Testament book. And Lord, we pray for even your Holy Spirit in our heart to be our guide, our teacher this afternoon. Help us to take heed, pay attention, be humble, and even be so blessed as we study the history of the country of Israel, the chosen nation. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Alright, I'm going to take probably about 10 lessons to cover the entire book of Numbers. How many chapters are there in the book of Numbers? How many chapters, Jesha? Alright, 36 chapters. When we did the Gospel of John, how many chapters were there? Mason? 21, yes. So we have done a chapter each time. But for Numbers, I will not do a chapter each time. I will just cover and highlight some of the major events that has taken place. So there are altogether, right, 36 chapters. That's quite long for the book of Numbers. How many of you have read the book of Numbers before? You finished reading the book of Numbers? Okay, now we have done it, reading. Right? Can't really remember. So before I want to look at it, can I ask you a question? Right? Have you studied the history of Singapore before?
Yes.
Yes, right. So who founded Singapore?
Raffles
or Sanina or Toma or whoever. So who founded Singapore? Raffles. So you have studied history of Singapore. You probably knew what happened and how this country of ours came into being. Which year was it? I also don't know. Right, so that was the year that Raffles came and saw this island, and then over the time, and then we were with Malaysia, and finally Singapore was independent. Which year was we independent? We just celebrated National Day, as you know very well. Which year was it? 19 what? Singapore became
Yeah, 1965. Which month?
Chloe,
which month? Singapore was independent as a nation. Which month? National Day, which month, Chloe? Well, we just celebrated our National Day. This month in August, August 9th. But this is Singapore. This is Singapore. But now we are going beyond Singapore and we want to look at this country called Israel. Now, why is Israel so special? This country called Israel. Why is Israel so special? Now, it's very important that we understand that in God's plan of salvation, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, must come down to this world. Right? You all know that. He must come, become a man to die for us. And so for the Lord Jesus in heaven, the eternal Son of God, to come down to this world, he must be born in a certain country. So God must have, in his plan, decided that there will be one country in this whole entire world. How many countries are there in this world? I also don't know. Okay, the expert is here. Maybe, that many countries in this world. And so God has decided in his plan that there will be one country that Jesus will be born. Is it Singapore? No, not Singapore. Is it USA? Also not USA. The country we all know is Israel. And for Israel to be the chosen nation and for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to be born in this country called Israel, God in his plan must form and make sure that this country, Israel, will come into being, right? Into existence. Become a nation in a certain time, in a certain year. Just like Singapore, right? You all can tell me which year Singapore was founded, which year Singapore became independent. There's a certain time, certain period. And so for Israel, it is the same. Right? But Israel is special because this is the nation that God has specially chosen. If you ask me why Israel, why not Singapore, why not Malaysia, why not Thailand, I don't know. So this is God's wisdom, why Israel? And maybe in heaven you can ask the Lord why Israel is that chosen nation for Messiah to come. And for Israel to be formed as a nation, as a country, it's important. Then we can see how God is going to be working in a very wonderful way, in a sovereign way, not the act of man, not you and I can think of, but the way that God has planned to ensure that this country will come to life. So we're going to study in history how God is going to do it. Now remember this, for any country to be in existence, you need three things. Number one, you need what? You need people. And don't say, oh, I am Singapore. Then where is Singapore? No one. Right? I am Singapore. Right? We are all Singaporeans. Except Esther. No. She is not Singaporean. Right? She's born in UK. So, three things. God must what? Raise what? A people. Right? In Israel. A people. So God must form his own people. You need, number one, people. Number two, you need what? You need laws. You need the constitution, the laws, right? To run a country, right, you need constitution and all the laws. For Singapore, if you want pui, or throw, right, there's a law, right, you'll be fine. So there are many laws in Singapore. So you need governing laws, constitution, right? This is number two. And number three, what do you need? Make a guess. Right? You need land, yes, you need the land, right? You have a country, you don't say, oh, we are Singapore, where is your country? Out of the sky, right? This is our country, it's our land, we are standing on. So you need three things. You need the people, you need the land, and of course you need the laws, right? The constitution, and then the country is formed. And so I want you to see how God is working in the country of Israel, and how God is going to raise the people, give them the laws. Right, for Israel is special, God's laws. And then God is going to give them the land, so that they all come together. And this is a place, and this is Israel. Understand? So we understand that. And we're going to study some of this and how God is going to work in a very wonderful way. Now, before we go into the book of Numbers, it's important to understand the first five books of the Bible. Okay, look at me. Name me the first five books of the Bible. We're looking at your Bible,
sure you can do it. Ready? Go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Oh, not bad, ah. Say faster, ah. Ready? Go. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Remember the first five books of the Bible? These are very important, the first five books of the Bible, because that will give you the understanding of how Israel is going to be formed as a country. So the first five books of the Bible is often called, right, in Hebrew they call it the Torah. They call it the Torah. Torah means the law. So you find that in the first five books of the Bible, God is going to give what? I told you, right, three things, right? So you need the what? The country need the law. So you find that there will be a lot of laws given in the first five books of the Bible. So where is the Ten Commandments found? Exodus chapter 20, right? Exodus the second book. So you find that there will be a lot of laws given. And there is called the what? The first five books sometimes is also called by another name called the Pentateuch, right? Pentateuch, right? You learn maths when you say pen is what? How many? Five, right? Hexagon is how many? Six, right? You learn, huh? Quadrigan is how many? Four, right? So, Pentateuch, right, is also another name given to the first five books of the Bible. Now, I need you to understand, and then you see my first point, because I want you to relate with the first five books of the Bible. So, I give you a very brief summary of what is the first book, Genesis, all about. You should know what Genesis is all about. Genesis is what? The beginning of everything. So the Bible is very complete. Right? It starts off with the beginning, how the world came about. So you have a beginning, creation, and then you find that it ends with this family that God has chosen, Jacob and his children. If you still remember that because of the famine, right, and Joseph is the prime minister in Egypt, and so the whole family of Jacob and all his children, they all went to live where? Live with Joseph in Egypt. Still remember that? Right, he ended with that in the book of Genesis. But that was the calling. If you look at Genesis, you know that there was a man called Abraham, and he was the people. See, remember how the Jews came about. The descendant of Abraham will be the people. So God told Abraham, from you and all the descendants, right, you will form the nation Israel. So Jacob and the family were all the children of Abraham. And you find that he ended there where the chosen people, the Jews, the Israelites, where were they living? They were living in this country called Egypt. And now, when you move to the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, I'm giving you a very quick summary. So, the book of Exodus means what? When you say Exodus means what? You have to what? Right? Exodus, you have to what? You leave, right? You leave, you exode, you have to depart from the place. So, now God is going to bring His chosen people, the children of Israel, now they're going to depart from this land of bondage in Egypt. How many years, quiz, was Israel, the people of Israel in Egypt, how many years? How many years? Make a guess. Who say 50 years? Nobody. Who say 100 years? 200? 300? 400? 500? 1,000? Right, the answer is found in Exodus. Can you turn to Exodus? Chapter 12, verse 40. That will give us the number of years that the children of Israel lived in Egypt, and they were, of course, later on being bullied there, they became slaves. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Let's read together, then you know the answer. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Ready, go. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. How many years, Toby? 430 years. Yes, 430 years. That is a long, long time that the Israelites were living in Egypt. And all these years, when they were living there,
they later on became what? Slaves. They were tortured, they were bullied by the Egyptians. But surprisingly, they grew in number. The number get bigger and bigger and bigger. It started with Jacob and the family, about 70 of them. And then it grew and grew over the 430 years. Later on, I'll tell you how many Jews are there, when you do some calculation. And you find that children of Israel multiply. God bless them and they multiply. And so, remember, you need a country, need what? Need people, need people. And so God bless them and they multiply, and they multiply, and they grew from a big, big, big number. And so for 430 years they were there. Did God forget Israel? Did God say, wow, after so many years, 430 is a long time. But God did not forget Israel, because the time up, God said to who? Moses. Remember the book of Exodus? You must be very familiar. Moses, bring the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. So that is the book of Exodus, right? He began with Israel in bondage, and then how Moses brought them by God's power. Ten plagues, finally, the king of Pharaoh said, go. And you find that if you look at your map behind, can you see your map behind? Can you see? Some geography for you. Egypt is on the left side, right? The left side, that is Egypt, right? And where is Israel? Israel, you see the word Canaan, it's on this side, on the right side. Can you see the word Canaan? Right? And that is Israel, and that is the promised land. But for the children of Israel, they departed from this place called Ramesses in Egypt. So Moses led them all the way, and you see the path that they went down. Most people believe that it was at the tip of the Red Sea. At the tip, when you say at the tip of the Red Sea, that is where God opened the Red Sea. When the children of Israel went all the way down. Can you see? Look at my hand here. Can you see the tip here? That is where they crossed the Red Sea, right? Right at the top of the Suez, right? Now the Red Sea, where they crossed over the Red Sea and God opened the Red Sea for them. And of course, the Egyptians who pursued after them, they were all drowned, right? And then the children of Israel went down all the way to the famous mountain, right at the bottom. Can you see the mountain that's very famous called Mount Sinai. Remember Mount Sinai, where they received the Ten Commandments? Very important. Remember the Ten Commandments? God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses where? Mount Sinai. Now you know where is Mount Sinai. Right at the bottom there, Mount Sinai. And in all these places, they are all what? Wilderness. But this is God's leading. Sometimes people ask, hey, why didn't the children of Israel cross over? Right? If they cross over, they can go to the promised land even faster, right? Why must they go all the way down south? Where God asked them to go all the way down south. And they were not ready. God has a reason and a purpose. So sometimes in God's leading in our life, it's like that. I mean, there seems to be a shortcut, right? Correct? There's a shortcut to go across to the promised land. But God said, go down all the way, Mount Sinai. And they had to wait and recite at Mount Sinai. And so you find that the book of Exodus, it concludes with the children of Israel, all of them, now at this mountain, at Mount Sinai. So at Mount Sinai, what happened? They received the Ten Commandments and all the laws and how to construct the tabernacle. Have you studied the tabernacle? How it's to be built? One day we can study the tabernacle and the reason for it and all the different furniture inside the tabernacle. So when you read the book of Exodus, you understand this. Now come to the third book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Now this is, Leviticus will be one of the hardest books to read. One of the most difficult book to understand. So if you are a young Christian, someone who is just a believer, don't say, hey, start with Leviticus. You can start John's Gospel, but don't start with Leviticus. Don't ask the person start with Leviticus, because even now, up to today, if I read Leviticus, I also read blur. It's not easy. Because that book of Leviticus is also the children of Israel right at Mount Sinai. They stopped at Mount Sinai for a long time, right? They were there for a while, and God gave all the laws to Israel. And the book of Leviticus is all about the laws of the for the priests, for the sacrifice to be made. So all the laws are there. Remember, right? I told you to have a country, God must give them what? The people. Right, now they have the people, God must give them the what? The laws. So all the laws were given also in the book of Leviticus about the priests or the offerings. They're all at the time at Mount Sinai. Now the book that we're going to focus on, right, the fourth book of the Bible, Numbers. Numbers will then start the journey. The journey from Mount Sinai. Now God said, okay, everything, you're all ready to move to the promised land. I give you all the laws already. You got the Ten Commandments, you got the priest, you got the tabernacle, you know what to do. Now, time to what? Go. Move. So Numbers will be what? The movement. Time to go already. Conquer, go into the promised land. And of course, if everything has gone correctly for the children of Israel, actually, it just takes about 1.5 years to have reached the promised land and they have gone in. But sad thing is that when you read the book of Numbers, how long it took? 40 years, right? It took them 40 years. 40 years. And we're going to study why 40 years. Eh? And so, in the book of Numbers that we're going to study, finally they arrive at the east of Jordan, ready to enter the promised land. When we, God willing, now when we end the book of Numbers, it will be there, right? Can you see? Can you see the journey? The journey is there, they wander in the wilderness until finally, right? You see, right here on the right side where the book of Numbers stopped there, the river Jordan is there, right? They will cross the river Jordan into the promised land. So the book of Numbers stopped right at the arrow there. Just about to enter already. And they face another river. First time they came out, they face what? The Red Sea. Now they face what? The river Jordan. Huh? Okay, and then the fifth book of the Bible. It's called what? Deuteronomy. A lot of Old Testament history today. Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is simply a summary. Actually, it's a summary of the first four books. Basically, it's a summary. It comes from two words. Or the two words. Deuteros, right? It means second. And Nomos, it means law. So what will happen is that in the book of Deuteronomy is simply a recount of the history. Now you are about to enter the promised land. Moses told them, I'm going to tell you the whole history so that you know exactly why it took 40 years and not 1.5 years. So Moses recounted, and then now you have a new group of people because all the first generation people died in the wilderness. So Moses gave them the law again, recounted, told them all the laws one more time so the people know exactly. Now you enter the promised land, we know exactly what is God's law. So everything was like a summary and a recount of all the events. And before they entered the promised land, what happened to Moses? Did he enter the promised land? No, he didn't enter the promised land. Right? In the book of Deuteronomy, you find the death of Moses. How old when he died? 120 years. Remember, Moses' life is very easy. You divide him to what, 40 years, 40 years, 40 years. Right? First 40 years, he was the prince. Right? Next 40 years, right, he was hiding himself. Right? Hiding himself, right, a shepherd. In the last 40 years, he was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. Okay, so that is a good quick summary of the first five books of the Bible. Now when you read the Old Testament, right, you come across the first five books, you understand roughly, right, the context, the history, what it is. So when you read Leviticus, all the law, you know, say, ay, why so sad, man? Why always say this law, that law, why sacrifice? Then you understand, oh, for a nation to be formed, you need what? You need laws. You need all the laws to govern the people. So all the laws are very important. And you know exactly when it was given. At where? Mount Sinai. Okay, so I want to also tell you that the author of the first five books of the Bible is who? None other than Moses. Then you stretch your head, Uncle John. Right? But how can Moses write Genesis? Was Moses there when God created Adam and Eve? Was Moses there? Of course, is Moses there? Did Moses saw God created Adam and Eve? No lah, because Adam and Eve were the first 2%. Then you say, hey, how can it be? And that is exactly a lot of those
liberals, skeptics, those who don't like the Bible, and they deny the Bible. They say, cannot be Moses, Abraham, Moses was not there, how can he write? But they forgot what? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God can always tell Moses this was exactly what happened to Adam and Eve, how the world was created. And so Moses was just an instrument used by God to write down the book of Genesis. So many times you find that people will criticize, how can it be so accurate? It cannot be all the law so good one. These people must have lived many thousand years later, then they write the book of Leviticus Numbers. It is not. Because this is the word of God. God has a power, and God inspired Moses to write exactly what it is. And this is God's word. So it is accurate and it is perfect. So remember that when all the critics and people tell you all kinds of things, we know that it is truly right, the author, the human author is Moses. Of course we know that the divine author is God himself, who inspired Moses to write. Now, I'm going to go to point two. I want you to also, this is introduction, so you need to have a good understanding of the book of Numbers. So, you try to follow. Now, I want you to understand a bit of chronology, means the time frame. How long were they there? How long when they left Egypt? When was it? How long were they in Mount Sinai? So that you understand the period of time, right? And this is important for us. Alright, now, in Numbers chapter 33, verse 3, you want, you can turn to it. Okay, let's turn to it. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 33, verse 3. And let's read this verse, and then we will have a date. Now, this date is very important, because God gave us a date. The date will tell you from here to here how long, right, was the period of time. So now we have the first date. When did Israel depart from Egypt? So Numbers chapter 33 verse 3 will give us the answer. If I ask you, when is your birthday? Right, you have a date. How many years were you in your primary school, Jesha? You also have a date, which year to which year. So you know, 6 years you were there. Alright, so for Israel it is the same. Right? God give us this date. Let's read together. Numbers chapter 33 verse 3. And they departed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. Right? After the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand to the side of all the Egyptians. Alright, so you have the beginning of this record of the period where Israel left Egypt. The first month on the 15th day, because this is the beginning of time, so it has to be at the first year. And that's where we start all the calculation. So remember, first month, 15th day. And now, you see your map, right? They left Egypt, they went down south, they crossed the Red Sea, then all the way until they reached what? Mount Sinai. So how long was the journey? All the way, when they left Egypt, all the way down to Mount Sinai. How long did they take to travel? The answer is, it took them about 2.5 months. How do we know that? Because in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 1. So sometimes, that's why in the first five books, you will have to flip here and there. But Exodus, chapter 19, verse 1, tells us that Israel arrived at Mount Sinai on the third month and the first year. Okay, now you calculate. They departed when? First month, 15th day. So middle of the first month. So when they arrived at Mount Sinai, all the way down, it was the what? It was the third month, right? The beginning of the third month, right? At the first year. So all in all, it took that. The whole third month. It had to be the whole third month. So the third month, the second month, and then the middle of the first month. So it's all together 2.5 months. So at the 2.5 months period, children of Israel left Egypt all the way down to Mount Sinai. Now remember, in Mount Sinai many things happened, because the Ten Commandments were given to the children of Israel, the tabernacle was constructed, right? All the laws were given. And so they must have stayed in Mount Sinai for a long, long time. I'm going to tell you how long they stay in Mount Sinai. If you look at point E. They actually stay in Mount Sinai for how long? 11 months and 20 days. It's a long time. Nearly a year. You ask yourself, hey, why God make them wait so long? Go la, chong la, no, you're like chong la, rush la. But in God's way, in God's time, sometimes you must learn how to wait. Wait on the Lord. It's very important. Even for the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, they stay there nearly for 1 year. Right? Nearly 1 year. Because this is an important time. You need the time to what? Be ready. You need the time to receive all the instructions of God. You need the time to build the tabernacle so that the tabernacle is always there as they travel. So this is an important time. So sometimes, don't say that waiting is waste time. Yeah, in God's plan for your life, sometimes you have to wait. So young people, wait. Don't rush for girlfriend, boyfriend. Wait, sometimes, you know, God will give you the best. So don't run. Oh, this I'm so handsome. I want him now. But this is not God's timing. So learn to wait and learn to prepare yourself. Do you know that I told you Moses lied, right? 40 years as a prince in Egypt. Then the next 40 years, he was a shepherd, right? Shepherd in the wilderness, a nobody. But that 40 years of waiting is very important. Then he was ready, the last 40 years, to lead the children of Israel out. So you know that there will be a time in your life, in my life, that God says, wait! Prepare yourself! Learn God's word! Get all the law! Then you can serve. And you are ready. So for Moses, it's the same. For all of us, it is like that. I won't want to go into the detail of it, but you find that right, from the time they were in Mount Sinai, 2.5 months, right, and the third month, first year, and then if you go to part 2, point C, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 17, we also give us when the tabernacle was ready, tabernacle was constructed, right, all the different furniture, the tabernacle, it was on the first day, or the first month, the second year, and then in Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, just now we read it, it gives us the counting of the people, right? You know the word census, C-E-N-S-U-S. I don't know whether you remember. In Singapore, you know that we also conduct such census survey, right? There will be, I think once in 5 years. How long? I cannot remember. But I still remember they will come to your house, they will ask you to fill out a form, how many people in your household. And then you write down how many people, what age they are. So they will conduct this. Then finally they will tally up. Oh, the whole of Singapore, we have how many people? How many male, how many female, how many years old? You know? So you have that. So for the children of Israel, before they move out and go to the promised land, they make a count. Later on, I'm going to make a count. I'm going to make a count for you. And so this was taken also at Mount Sinai and on the first day of the second month. Now the one that I want you to turn the Bible to is Numbers chapter 10. Because that is the year is recorded for us, the month, the day that they broke camp. You know in the army, broke camp, army people will know. When you say break camp, means what? Time to what? Time to close shop, move, right? That's called you break camp. So Numbers chapter 10, verse 11. Now you see, they have been in Mount Sinai for a long time. 11 months, 20 days. How do we know? Look at Numbers chapter 10, verse 11. Let's read together, yeah? And you turn to Numbers, chapter 10, verse 11. Okay, ready, go. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle of the testimony. And verse 12. And the children of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness of Sinai, Mount Sinai. Yeah? So you find that the period is what? Second year? 20th day and second month. Alright? When they arrived at Mount Sinai, it was the third month or the first year. Right? So if you book your mathematics, it should be 11 months. It should be 11 months and 20 days. So they have been in Mount Sinai for nearly 1 year. It's a long period. Nearly 1 year they were waiting, receiving God's word. And finally, God said, time to move. So, our life is like that. And God said, stay, you stay. And God said, move, you move. Right, so there's a song that says what? Ready to stay, ready to go. Right, so we must always be ready.
God says move, we move. Go, we go. Right? And now, in Numbers chapter 10, verse 11, this is the time that God said, this is the second year, this is the 20th day, the second month. Now the cloud is taken away. It means the cloud is moving. When the cloud moves, you move, because it's God's leading for them. Alright, so we have a good understanding of the chronology, right? The time frame. Are you still with me? Right? Are you still with me? Yes, is it very difficult? No, so you follow. So now, the book of Numbers, point 3, the book of Numbers, and just an outline, right? Joshua say, right? 36 chapters, but basically it's divided into three main portions. From chapter 1 to chapter 10, remember they are at what? Mount Sinai, right? They are at Mount Sinai. So chapter 1 to chapter 10 is also a preparation. It's time to move, time to go already. So a lot of preparation is needed. And one of the things that they will be doing in chapter 1, which you're going to do later on, is to do a population counting, a census. So they're going to count the number of people who are ready to be what? Soldiers. All the soldiers, right? Yeah. Ready to be soldiers. Ready to be what? Fighting men. So they want to know how many fighting men in Israel. Because now they're going to move through the wilderness, they're going to be enemies. And then when they go into the promised land, there will be enemies to fight. So they must know the number of fighting people. And it's not a rojak. Those of you who have been in army will know, right? Army, when we fight, right, we have proper what? Don't say chong lah! Sometimes you watch the television, everybody chong. Actually, it's not like that. In army, when you chong, you have a proper formation. You know where to stand, you know who is your partner beside you, you know how to go. So there's proper formation. So when you look at the book of Numbers, actually when they march, they leave Mount Sinai. It's God give them instruction. This tribe go where, this tribe stand where. So actually there's a proper formation, how they're going to move, how they're going to march. So it's very exciting. So actually a lot of the world, like the army fighting, actually they learn from the Bible, right? And you find that this is going to take place, and how the tabernacle is going to be looked after. The tabernacle is going to be the center, right? All the tribes are going to surround it. As they march, the tabernacle is the middle. So every time they stop, what will happen? They must sell the tabernacle, pull out the tent tape, sell the tabernacle. And when God says move, what is going to happen? They must dismantle the tabernacle, right? Everybody, the Levites, they must carry it, and then they move. So you're going to have all the instruction is there. Chapter 1 to chapter 10. And then from chapter 10 to chapter 20, the next 10 chapters, we talk about the wandering in the wilderness. So we're going to study what will happen inside the wilderness. Why is it that they need to spend 40 years? What happened to the 12 spies? And they're almost there already, they're reaching there already. Should have gone in already. And then they failed. They failed a lot. And so you're going to see what happened. And you learn about how the people, even they saw God's power, they saw God's miracle, God gave them manna to eat. After that, not nice, I want not. Bread not good, I want other fish, I want raw meat. And then they are not happy, God gave them water, they want more, and then they complain. And you see how Moses, the man of God, has to suffer, has to bear with them. It's not easy. Even Moses' own brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, also turned against him. So we see God's man sometimes has to be alone in a battle for the Lord. But Moses never gave up. So it was a 40 years of wandering. 40 years a long journey, wandering in the wilderness. And finally, from chapter 21 all the way to the last chapter, chapter 36, we find that they are there already. Right at the door of the promised land. Right all the way to Transjordan. Now, sometimes people use the word Transjordan. Look at your map. Very important. Now, Israel, you look at here, okay, see my hand first, before you look at my hand. Right, this is the Sea of Galilee, right? You see this sea, the Sea of Galilee, and then the river down is called the River Jordan. And all the way down, the River Jordan will lead to the Dead Sea, the Dead Sea. Okay, so you find that on this side here, right, that is Israel, right, the land of Canaan, right, the promised land. And when they enter the last part, they were just here. Transjordan means east of Jordan, east side. If you look at your map, you know your geography, north, south, east, west, right? Because north is up there, north, south, east, west.
So River Jordan is here. So east is what? On the east side. Right? West is on the west side. The land of promise is on the west side. So they were now at the east of Jordan. Once they cross River Jordan, they are there already, right into the promised land. So that is called Transjordan. The word for the west of Jordan is called Cisjordan, C-I-S. Right? So there are two words. Transjordan on the east side, Cisjordan, C-I-S. C-I-S, Cisjordan on the west side. So you find that if you go into the details, you will know what happened. 2.5 tribes prefer to remain on the Transjordan on the west side, right? Remember all this history, Okay, also you remember as they go into Israel, there's this person called Balaam. He wanted to curse Israel. Curse Israel, don't let Israel die, right? He wanted to curse Israel, right? And they gave him money to do that, right? And then they have other problems as they face different enemies, people from Moab. You see Moab is here, right? Moab is here. And then Edom, right? Sometimes you read the Bible, you have countries like called Moab. Remember Moab, Edom, they're all here. So Israel has to what? Has to pass through them before they enter the promised land. And so these are all the enemies, they will attack them. Alright, so this will give you an understanding of the background of the book of Numbers. Now, can you turn to Numbers chapter 1? Can you turn to Numbers chapter 1? I'm going to ask you to do some homework now. It's very important. And this is mathematics. You can take out your calculator if you want. How many of us here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right? 12. Maybe the first one I demonstrate to you first. Now, I'm going to ask you now to see for ourselves how many people left Egypt, right, all the way across the Red Sea. Now they are at Mount Sinai, right? Remember, now at Mount Sinai. So how many people were there? Now there's going to be a number. Enter the Numbers chapter 1. That's why the book of Numbers is called Number, because they're going to counting. Because at the end of it, when they reach at the River Jordan, there's going to be a second counting again. So there'll be two counting. This is the first time, right? Chapter 1. Can you look at Numbers chapter 1, verse 3? Verse 3. Who are they counting? Let's read together. Verse 3. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. So these are going to be what? Fighting men, not women, not women. Those who can go to war. How old must they be when they go to war? 20 years and above. In Singapore Army, when you're called up for the National Service, how old are you called? 18. 18. Right. So 18 maybe not so ready to fight. That's why I'm not so ready. Ask me to go to war, can I? You need about what? 20 years old. 20 years old, maybe I'm more mature, more ready. I think so. So, in God's wisdom, to fight a war, God say what? Only choose those who are what? 20 years old and more able. So, those fight car one. Pass C one, you need to go. Because 20 years old and above, who are able, count them. Alright, so the counting will begin this way, right? Going by the tribes. So they will count all these able men, 20 years and above, who can go for war. Now, I'm going to show you how the counting is done. Right, the first tribe in, later on you're going to add and put a number yourself. I'm going to tell you who's going to do what. Okay, look at verse 20 and verse 21. No, I just give you an example. This is the first tribe, the tribe of Reuben. Okay, the tribe of Reuben. Let's read together. Verse 20, verse 21. Together, ready, go. And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, by their bows, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. Okay, right now, huh? So how many? For the tribe of Reuben, the first tribe, there's a blank there. Can you write down for me? 46,500. So it's 46,500. Okay? So can you write down in the blank there, beside the tribe Reuben, 46,500. And so that's how they counted for Reuben. They are very careful, right? They count, they go by house, right? They go by the number, the name, so they make sure everybody is counted. Now, the homework now is, right, you're going to do this, huh? Jianjin, you do the next one. Simeon, the tribe of Simeon. Yesha, later on, you do the tribe of Gad, G-A-D. Nikai, Judah. Zuhai, Issachar. Wow, Zebulun. Rachel, Ephraim. Jason, Manasseh, Chloe, Benjamin, Kaoyen, Dan, Esther, Asher, and then with me, oh, Ariel. Ariel, do that color. Okay, you just go to the verse and write down the number. Alright, later on everybody will see out the number. Huh? Okay, one score is 20. When the Bible says score, you see the word score, just like 1,000. 1,000 is what? It's 12, right? When you say 1,000. A century is 100. One score means 20. 20, so there's one score. Right? So when you see the word score, it's 20. So can you write down your own? And then everybody do the last one. Left study, everybody do it. Write down also for the last track. Okay, my answer here, later on I see whether you have the right answer. Are you all done ready? With your track? All ready? Yes? No? Write down the number ready? Beside the one that I asked you to do? Yes, huh? Yes, you're confident. It's mathematics, huh? Okay, we start with Jianjin. Jianjin, Simeon?
59,300.
Okay, correct. Can you write down 59,300? Reuben already, I told you 46,500. Simeon, 59,300. Jeshua,
45,650.
Okay, 45,650. 45,650. Okay, Judah?
74,600.
Yes, 74,600. Okay, Issachar? 54,400. Okay, all follow. Zebulun.
57,400.
Okay, correct. 57,400. Okay, they're all with me. Ephraim, Richard.
50,500.
Okay, 40,500. Father has sought for us. 40,500. That's Ephraim. 40,500. Okay, Manasseh.
Yes,
32,200. 32,200. Correct? Okay, Benjamin. Louis. Yes, 35,400. That is Benjamin. Dan, Oyen. Yes, 62,700 for the tribe of Dan. 62,700. Esther, Asher.
41,500.
Yes, 41,500. And the last tribe, Naphtali. What? 53,400. 53,400. Now take your calculator out. If you have your handphone, and don't look at the verse. You add up for me all these 12 tribes. Add up. Tell me what is the grand total. Your calculator. See how good your math is. Wow, it's so good. You look at all the numbers, you can add up.
I don't have a calculator.
You can add mentally. you must have a personal achievement by adding it so that you get the right answer. Good job, good job. You look at his. You add up all the 12 tribes, what do you get? Esther, what is the answer? Okay, the answer is 603,550. Now you look at Numbers chapter 1 verse 46, because the Bible also give us the total. See whether your answer and the Bible total is the same. Okay, Numbers chapter 1 verse 46. Okay, that is the total. After adding up, right, you add up all the tribes. In verse 46, that's the total. Let's read together. Ready, go. Even all they that were numbered 600,000 and 3,550. So correct, 603,550, which is the answer in the Bible. And if you add up all the tribes, you will actually have the same answer. 603,550. Now, it's very important. So how many people were there all together? Remember, these are the what? The fighting men, 20 years and above. About 600,000. So make a good assumption, right? These are the men, and then you add in the woman and the children. So roughly, how many people were there? The whole of Israel left Egypt. Times three, okay? Yeah, quite reasonable, around times three. So if you have men, you have the woman, you have the children, if you times three. So roughly, most people estimate there are about 2 million people who left Egypt. 2 million people. How many people are there in Singapore? Now we have about close to 5 or something million, close to 6 million. So nearly 1/3 of Singapore is out. Can you imagine? Tianjin, nearly 1/3 of Singapore go through the causeway. just the thought of it, 2 million people. It's a big number. And here you find that they started with what, 70 from Jacob family in Egypt. God blessed them with 2 million people. And after 430 years in Egypt, God said, time to go. And God used what? God used who? Only one man, Moses. So sometimes God doesn't need to use a lot of people. Oh, I must form a lot of committee, I must do this, do that. But God just said, one man, Moses. You're going to lead 2 million people out of Egypt. That's all. So don't think that God need a lot of big committees, 100 or 1,000 choir members, we need this performance, then we can do a lot of things. And sometimes we are just bewildering. Let God use you. Just one person and you do such a great job. Now about 2 million people. Now I want to ask you another question. Is that there's one tribe that is missing. You know what tribe? What's the tribe that is missing? Yes, right? Turn to Numbers chapter 1. There's one tribe that was not named, right? Just now we went through, right? You counted how many tribes are there? From Reuben, Simeon, Gad, Judah, Zechariah, how many tribes are there? 12 tribes already, right? 12 tribes. But one tribe in Numbers chapter 1 verse 47. Look at verse 47. They were not named. They were not numbered, sorry. They were not numbered. They were not counted at all. Verse 47. So the answer is what? The tribe of Levites. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. So there was one tribe that God said, don't number them. I don't want them to be fighting soldiers. I don't want them to go to war. Because this tribe is also a special tribe, specially chosen to do one thing. They are supposed to do what? Go back and sleep with it.
then you wish you are the Levite. Wow, right? Just like if all the men in Singapore has to go out for war, and all those surname code don't have to go. Right? How will you feel, Jesha? You thought, wow, not very good. But actually, there's a greater, a more important role for the tribe of Levites that they must do. So the answer is in verse 50 and verse 51. Because this tribe of Levites, although they don't have to be fighting men, fighting the war, they must do something even more important. It's a spiritual thing that they must do. 50 and 51, let's read together these two verses. Then you understand why God has stopped, right? Say, don't number this tribe. 50, 51 together. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle, and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Now you see, what is the job of the Levites? God said, okay, you don't have to fight the war, but it's not for you to sleep, not for you to relax. They have an important role, and their role is to take care of the tabernacle, because the tabernacle signifies the presence of God. It's the temple. Of course, it's a tent, it's moving, because the children of Israel is moving. And so their job is very important. Right? They must be sure that when God says stop, they have to what? Pitch the tent, set up everything according to God's instruction. When God says move, they must what? Back up. They must back up, and they must carry the what? Tabernacle, right? They carry the tabernacle to the rod. They cannot touch it with their hands. So it's a very important role. And in time to come, when the sacrifice is to be made, right, they have to take care of all the laws of the sacrifice. And so this is the job of the Levite. Not fighting, but religious duty. Do you know that in Singapore, if you don't want to go to the army in the reservist time, if you are a pastor, you can be excused from reserving. If you are a pastor, they will excuse you because they say, oh, this is a religious duty you are involved in. But don't be a pastor because of that. Right? So skip the army and reservist duty. But there's a role. There's a role for the Levites, and it's important that they understand this. So do you think, I ask you a question, do you think the other tribes are jealous of the Levites? Oh, they're so good, you have to fight war. Do you think they're jealous? What do you think? I don't think so. I don't think they're jealous. Because they understand that each one has a duty. So it is the same with all of us. God will not call all to be Levites. Then everybody will be serving the tabernacle. Then who's going to fight the war, right? So there will be the right proportion that God has. Just like in the church, not everyone will be full-time worker. If everyone is full-time worker, you're not pastor, you're not pastor's wife, you're not missionary, then who's going to support the pastor and the missionary? So God, in His plan, will also have the right proportion, the right one. But you don't have to be jealous. Don't say, oh, your pastor are so good. Only work once a week only. Then the rest of the while goes so hard. Some people say pastor only work on Sunday. The rest of the time he sleeps. It's not so. Pastor will say he should work very hard. So the Levites, they work very hard. And here, that is a role for them. It's God's purpose, God's plan. So if you are a Levite, you thank God for it. You thank God you are a Levite. You have no choice. You're born into this family, this tribe. Right? They're born in the core family. All the core family will be Levite. That means you're Levite. So you thank God for it. If you are not, you also thank God for it that you have grown to the war. Now, another question that I want you to understand is, a lot of time, didn't you say that there are 12 tribes in Israel? How come, hey Uncle John, you start counting, you already given us 12, then plus the Levite, how many tribes? 13 tribes. Eh? Isn't that Jacob got how many children? 12, right? 12 children, so 12 tribes of Israel. But how come now you have 13? Did I make a mistake? Right, the answer is this. Jacob has a son called Joseph. Right? And Joseph has two sons. And Joseph, two sons, often they divide them into also two tribes. So if you look at Ephraim,
right, on the right hand column, the 12 tribes,
Ephraim and Manasseh, right, these two, right, although it's separated as two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, but actually both Ephraim and Manasseh, they are the sons of Joseph. Right, they are the second generation. The rest of them, they are the direct, right, the direct descendants from Jacob. Jacob, the 12 children, 12 children. And they come to Joseph, and God bless, and a special blessing. And so the tribe of Joseph, right, is split into two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So that's why when you end up, you calculate, there are altogether 13, right? They are 13, but actually they are 12 children of Jacob. Alright, so I'm going to stop here for the first part one of the lesson. You have a good understanding of numbers already? A good background of the whole book? Are you excited to learn more? Know what's going to happen next? It's going to be very exciting. Marching order. Next one is marching. How to march. All the army boys must learn. How to march. And God has instruction for the Israelites how to do a boy. Alright, so let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the book of Numbers. Thank you that we can study this book, and even as our first lesson, Lord, in your own sovereign leading and wisdom, how you have chosen the country Israel, and how, O Lord, your plan of salvation, as it unfolds before our eyes as you study history of Israel, surely, Lord, thou art wonderful. Surely, Lord, thou art powerful, almighty, and all wise. And we submit ourselves to you, and we know, Lord, that you who are so great, surely will take care of us, our lives, and provide our every needs. Oh, Lord, help us also to love you, Lord, to follow you, to obey you, to learn in our life, to wait upon you, Lord, to stay if you want us to stay, to go when you want us to go. Help us also, Lord, to learn from the man Moses, Lord. And Lord, truly, we will be humble like him, and to be willing even to be used of thee for thy glory. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.